I think so.
Welcome to Formal Nachos, a podcast for people who want to listen and learn about Seattle.
And all sorts of things.
And everything, really.
All of the things.
All the things. I'm Tamara Turney.
And my name is Jeff Budke.
And joining us today is our replacement for our executive producer.
There may or may not have been a riff between the last executive producer and the stars. And so now we've brought in a replacement.
We're still married.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Don't worry. No one panic.
We don't got no bad blood or anything like that.
Oh, is that what that sounded like? Oh, my gosh. I didn't mean for that to happen.
But joining us today is Savannah Stewart. Yay!
So glad to have you.
Yeah.
And Tamara, you did a lot of fun things today. I mean, aside from, you know, seeing us in general, there was another monumentous occasion, and I think we did, like, the opposite things today, so I think you should start, though, because yours is much more exciting.
Well, today I went on a birthday hike for Andy Zook. Happy birthday, Andy.
Happy birthday, cheers. Andy.
Cheers.
That was a bad cheers. Let's try again. There we go.
Cheers. We went on a birthday hike to Mount Si. For those who have never done Mount Si, it's in North Bend, Washington. Just a short 45-minute drive from Seattle. And
don't worry, folks. You can still see the city if you're high enough in the air.
If you're high enough, you can see it. Also, it was foggy today. We couldn't see the city.
So no sight of the city.
And it's a four-mile trip to the top, 4 miles back. It's the same.
That makes sense. I see what you did there.
And it's pretty steep. There's a pretty steep elevation gain. I've done it before. I've done it a couple of times, and I was like maybe a little too cocky going into it. I was like, I got this. We're good. We don't need no stacks. We don't need no breakfast. We're gonna go run to the top.
I've heard Josh say similar things about hikes recently, actually, on the show last week.
2 weeks ago.
So
we did not learn our... Well, we did take trail mix this time. So
this podcast is about learning lessons.
And we have not learned yet.
Oh, okay.
Third time's a charm, hopefully. It was tough. It was tough. It was a really good day to hike. It was really beautiful. We took Luna with us.
Okay, there was a dog.
There was a dog, and she did great. She was, like, herding us the whole way up. She'd run to the front of the line of all 8 of us, check to make sure that the person at the front's still going, run to the back to make sure that all the rest of us were still going, then run back to the front.
She a natural sheep herder?
Yeah, she's a Kelpie.
What's that?
They're herding dogs.
Sweet. Nailed it.
Yeah, so that was my day. It was pretty intense. I also found out that I share a birthday with a 5-year-old, and I really got excited about that.
No greater gift in this life than sharing birthdays with other people.
Birthdays with babes.
Birthdays with babes.
Jeff, what did you do today?
I had the opposite day. I am a high school basketball coach. Not currently. It is the springtime. But I went to a basketball coaching...
It's t-ball time.
It's t-ball time. But I went to a basketball coach's clinic. And this is probably a longer story for another time, but it's pretty funny.
Let's hear it.
The testosterone that is filled in the room where everyone, even I feel it. Like, I just look to my left and my right, and I think, I'm a better coach than these people.
What?
Even though we're all there to learn from coaches that are better than us.
Yeah.
We heard from an assistant Gonzaga coach, and the Eastern Washington head coach was there.
Oh.
So I was in one of the meetings. What's that? That's like a...
Like
a branch
breakout group.
Yeah,
a
breakout group. I was in a breakout group
uh-huh.
about 3-point specialists.
Uh-huh.
And the speaker, he was the Eastern Washington head coach whose name escapes me, and I apologize for that.
We'll find that later. Savannah, will you
edit.
Check that?
Oh my gosh. That'd be like producing. It'd be like actually producing on the show. Josh is going to be so mad at me when he hears this. And
it actually looks like she's looking it up.
Yeah, I'm really happy. I want credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
And he said
the
he was sure. Yeah.
There you go.
Great stuff.
Fact checking for the win.
It's like we know
yes.
what we're doing on this show.
I can
show.
Tell you
yes.
all about him right now. We've got Wikipedia.
So Eastern Washington is known for the 3-point shooting. They just shoot a lot of threes. And he was comparing his stats with Kansas. Kansas is a more traditional powerhouse school. Eastern Washington is not. They're a lower level school.
Mm.
And he said to the group, How far did Kansas get in the tournament? And it was kind of quiet. And I don't like talking in these things because I really don't like drawing attention to myself. Aside from having a podcast and telling people to listen to it, I don't like a lot of attention. And after a moment, I said, they lost to Villanova in the Elite Eight. And the guy next to me, sitting next to me, yells, wrong, like,
whoa,
loudly and abruptly, and like rolled his eyes at me.
Were you wrong?
I wasn't wrong. That's the best part. And the Eastern Washington Bo says, okay, whatever. And he just like moves on from that like really odd exchange.
Yeah,
and I was like,
weird.
Yeah, it was great. Later in that conversation, he was showing film and he said, this player here, he's not a shooting threat. And another coach said, oh, is that because of where he's standing? And the coach said, no, it's because he can't shoot. He stinks. So he was a very abrupt and like, yeah. So we had very different days.
Wow.
But here we are.
Here we are.
In the midst of greatness, I dare say.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited for our show and I'm excited for our guest.
Do you want to tell everyone who he is or should I? No, I want you to do it.
What if we both told them?
At the same time. Okay, at
like
the same
how
time.
We know him and
okay.
How we've grown to know him.
At the same time?
At the same time.
Okay.
Okay.
So I met Ryan this summer.
I met Ryan
because he was in a
best
wedding
friends
with
when we were,
Josh and Tamara.
When he and him
and he grew up with
kids.
Josh, who was my best friend.
I met him
friend,
about a year and a half ago.
And he'll never be loved as much as he was loved
Josh
with me.
Josh really loved
And he introduced
Ryan
me to Ryan.
And
now Ryan
and
I are
Ryan
friends.
Ryan is closer friends with Jeff than he is with the rest of us.
Nux.
I don't know what I just said.
So I was walking by Emmanuel Church last weekend, and I met Ryan. That's actually where I met Ryan, as I was walking into
last
there.
Weekend.
And he was moving an espresso machine, and I thought, what greater person to have on the show to talk about coffee than Ryan Rhodes?
Than
a man
moving
I met.
An espresso machine.
Ryan, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show,
thanks.
Ryan.
We're so happy to Woo! Have you.
I'm stoked to be here.
Do you have anybody that is listening right now live that you want to like say hi
give
to?
A shout
anybody
out.
At home?
Oh, shoot.
oh, shoot.
I haven't told anyone about this because I was like,
this is going out.
I was
like, we'll see how it goes.
That's a good
now
call.
That I'm on the spot.
hi, Mom.
My niece, Madeline. She's two.
Madeline.
That's a safe bet.
Oh, and she really likes you.
And she does.
She has an affectionate nickname for you that she can kind of say now. Do you mind sharing that with everyone?
Well, Tio is uncle in Spanish.
Nice. We knew that.
She calls me...
A little twist.
Tita. I try and get caught up on semantics, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
She's there.
Whenever, like, there's a T.
Yeah.
There's a T, I'll typically turn because I don't want her to call me and I don't respond, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'll just be there just
a
in case.
Typically turning Tio. Very nice alliteration.
Oh.
See what you did there.
Yeah, but
that's
it might be
sweet.
Like...
Well, welcome to the show. We're glad
Thanks.
To have you here.
I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, cool.
We brought you on the show for a reason. One, we enjoy your company, of course.
Thanks.
But two is that you have grown into a coffee
aficionado.
Nice. I see what you mean. You knew I wasn't going to be able to say the word, so you saved me. That's chemistry. Which has to do with coffee, full circle.
Chemistry.
Bring it back. Drain it in. And, yeah, can you tell the 12 listeners that we have what you do for a living and a little bit about, like, what your passions are in the coffee world?
I make coffee.
Nice.
Professionally. I get paid to do it. I think coffee's really delicious, and... I get to try to make it more delicious all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle's a great place in that people are all about coffee and it's a really easy sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, sweet. I get to put a lot of effort into making coffee and people are like, I'm too tired for this. I don't have time for that. So, make coffee. Try to be nice to people. Smile.
Try to
be nice
try.
To people.
Yeah.
Be nice to people. I'm just saying, put effort in.
Yeah, you put the effort in, you get the effort out.
And, yeah, that's most of it. And then I teach other people how to make coffee better as well.
Yeah, that I imagine. So, Josh, a former executive producer on the show, and will return probably someday.
Yeah,
can you confirm or deny that?
I think he'll be back next week, although I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
He was telling a story about he came to visit you, and he ordered a, what's it called? The, when you make an individual...
Manually brewed cup of coffee.
Yeah, manually brewed cup of coffee.
Sweet.
And you did not notice he was there, and someone went to do it, and you had to, like, help them. What's that like teaching other people how to make coffee, like, in the moment? It's not like, oh, you should try that a few times, and then we'll give it to people. It's like, hey, this is going out right now.
All
right,
this is...
It's go time.
This is real.
this is the big
to be
show.
Fair, actually, I made it that time. So I don't know, like, what the expectation was. I was like, let's walk through this. Then we'll double back.
We'll double back and try again.
But to be fair, it's not that complicated. I mean, what's great about coffee, it's coffee and water. And you just got to make sure they... come
okay.
in contact with each other, and so, but that being
there's
said.
There's no secret ingredient?
Love. That's the part of you, that's the training portion of it.
Once you get to aficionado status,
it's just like,
the love
there's,
just
there's,
pours
there's,
out.
There's levels. There's levels, it's okay.
There's the layers.
tiramisu. I'm that ladder.
So when I go to, like, a Starbucks or when I end up at, like, a Starbucks or something like that, I feel like they're just pushing buttons and then they hand me whatever, like, pumps out of there.
Yeah.
And I think that there's been a really nice transition to people pouring great cups of coffee where they're
yeah.
actually thinking about exact, like, the weights of the coffee and the different – you were
yeah.
doing – you served me coffee once. And I remember you sitting in here and, like, you had the scale out and – you were weighing the amount of water that went into everything, and I was like, that's so great.
Yeah.
That you cared that much about even just, like, doing it for your friends. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not a question. I don't have a question from there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious, why do you think the slow bar movement has gone so far? Like, I feel like that's such a big deal right
now. Such a much better question than what I said.
Such a much.
Such a much. Sweet.
I think that... as for so long, coffee was just like, it's a cup of joe.
Yeah.
You know, and people were just like, I just need my coffee. And so once people started getting their hands on really phenomenal coffees and working with farmers to produce really great crops, there was this like, oh, dang, we have this phenomenal crop that we're going to roast really well and we need to highlight it. And to some extent, you can make great coffee on a batch brewer. If you dial everything in, you can make it and have it pumped out in mass. But there's something about communicating to people that... you are taking the time, and it's almost showing them that you're making the time to craft something in hopes that they'll see that it's not just another cup of coffee. And so there's a, kind of a dual, like, yes, I always weigh all my coffee and water and make sure everything's at a perfect ratio. But to some extent, when people see that, it allows them to kind of step outside of their normal routine of, like, I'm just going to grab a cup of coffee and walk out the door,
yeah.
maybe do my routine with cream and sugar, whatever you like to do. And kind of interrupt that normal procedure and kind of say, hey, we're going to slow down a little bit, enjoy this process, let it be a process, and then try to produce something noteworthy. And so often, like, I think sensory experiences are influenced by the environment that you set up, and I think crafting it and giving them an experience, even if you serve them the same cup of coffee manually brewed versus out of a batch brewer.
Yeah.
They'll appreciate it more just by creating an environment.
It's the secret ingredient.
It's the love that I mentioned. The aforementioned love.
That's such a beautiful response.
How does technology and coffee work? Because what you're saying makes me think.
Yeah, I like that.
Put my phone in my pocket. Take a breath. Don't look at Twitter for 4 seconds, Jeff. And have a nice cup of coffee where someone cares about it. They hand it to me. Take a breath and like enjoy this moment. It seems like you're stepping away from it, but I'm guessing in the coffee world, the technology is advancing.
Yeah. It's a big conversation right now is with these...
in the coffee barista fantasy competition.
Essentially.
Like that.
Yeah. We'll come back to that.
That will happen. So as we're learning more about coffee. Coffee's so new that there's some, like, the last 100 years it's really been a thing, and so...
That sentence surprises me, but keep going.
That's fair. But the way we're doing coffee is changing all the time, and so we're learning so much constantly, and we're saying right now, it's like, hey, if we get the same amount of coffee and have it really precisely weighed and get the same amount of water out and measure everything, we can... That's how we're going to produce more consistent, better cups of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, machines can do that oftentimes better than humans can. Like,
okay.
The precision part of it.
The precision part
yeah.
of it. And so there's this kind of thing of how do we kind of translate to almost like a sommelier of coffee, you know, and kind of create
mm-hmm.
that experience by the interaction with people and let machines, as machines get better and we're able to create machines to do that better,
huh.
Let the machines do what they do really well. Like every day when I make espresso, I weigh out my amount of coffee within 0.1 grams. And it's like, oh, that'd be great if there were a machine that could do that for me. Because I literally take a little spoon and I'm pulling things out. I'm like, okay, go. Let's get this rolling. And that just takes – it's a tedious task that a machine could do that probably better or quicker than I can. And it would – it's kind of like – that's not something that a human needs to be doing, you know, like – that could be, there's time that I could be giving attention to customers and engaging with people in ways that I can't when I'm fussing over things. And so part of it is care. Part of it's not fussing about random details.
Sure. I'm curious.
You love random details. Get out of here. No, it's fine.
I know. If I think details, I think Ryan Rose.
That's fine.
Is that fair?
I'll take it. That's
okay.
Fine.
I'm curious, why do you think Seattle, of all places, it's like a hub for coffee? I mean, and I think the world and the entire world, people think of Seattle and it's like, oh, coffee.
Because we don't grow, this came up in season one, we don't grow coffee beans. No, coffee beans don't grow here, only in Hawaii, right? That's the only place that...
Well, like,
in the U.S.
Yes.
Yeah, so why
between
Seattle?
The tropics.
So why Seattle so into coffee? What do you think about
historically,
that?
When you had, like, Starbucks was starting and David Schomer with Vivace was kind of, like, forefront of, like, big Seattle events that happened in developing of coffee culture here. I feel like, I don't know, the rain and all that jazz. Like, we all know that we need coffee. Like,
we just need it.
The downer
stuff
of life.
That's no secret. But, this was a place where a lot of that started happening as more than just a commodity beverage at a gas station. And so I know that it kind of got going and got, we have kind of our particular style. I was talking with a customer the other day about Seattle style espresso, and like there's a lot of other cities that are doing coffee very differently than what a lot of what you find here, just because of where we're historically rooted and what was developed here and what roasters, what styles became popular up here and became known.
What would you say is Seattle style espresso?
I don't know
if I'm like evolved enough to know.
No, like a little more deeper roast profiles and shorter, higher concentration espressos. Something that kind of cut through milk a bit more.
That milk.
Something like really like viscous, you know, like.
Viscous! I love any time that word is used in a sentence. That's beautiful.
Duly noted. I will work on that.
Yeah.
Life goals.
Hashtag.
So like that's why like Vivace, they're doing super short ratios. It's like one part dry coffee to the same weight of espresso out. Like 20 grams in, 20 grams of espresso, which is super tight ratio. I'm not going to get into that right now.
Okay.
But,
some of our
really
listeners might appreciate that.
Maybe. I don't know. That might be completely random. Otherwise, as opposed to longer, more, less deeply roasted, a little more lightly roasted coffees, more longer, more dilute, but less, maybe more complex coffees.
Ooh.
The Seattle style is kind of like that really chocolatey, nutty, rich espresso.
Kind of makes me, I mean, this is maybe the Seattle snob in me, but makes me think that we have the better coffee.
We got something special going on, for sure.
It's the love factor.
The love factor. So, Ryan, we're so glad you're here. we're going to hit up the Wheel of Topics. A little bit different this week, I might add.
Yeah.
And we'd love to have you join us. And anytime you want to hop into the conversation, please feel free, as Savannah will and has so far this show. She smiled at me.
It's a nice smile.
Yeah, Savannah just had to hand me the definition to the word that you just enjoyed. But I can't remember what it was.
Viscous.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that word before, but it is a nice word.
It's a nice word. Nice. We use nice words on this show.
I use all the best words, as Donald Trump would say.
Oh my gosh. Ooh.
I use best words. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to talk. It's okay. It's okay. It was a funny quote. We
and
use
we're
all
gonna
the
be
best
back words. In 5 seconds after I've taken a lap. And we're back!
Tamara, guess what I did? I forgot the Wheel of Topics!
Oh no!
So we're going to use something even better. The Savannah of Topics.
The Savannah of Topics!
Kick it over to Savannah.
Are you going to make a wheel sound?
Yeah, sure. Ready?
Savannah of Topics!
That was nice. Four!
Number four, the worst way you've ever been woken up.
Oh.
Do you have a story for
that? I have
one?
A story about that. Last week, we discussed animals, a specific animal on this show. Does anyone remember what that was? It
raccoons.
Was a raccoon.
And turtles, but raccoons.
And turtles. We did talk about a lot of animals. We got to have an animal expert on the show.
If you're
please
an
contest.
Animal expert, please contact at our real Twitter.
Our real Twitter.
At Formal Nachos, not FML.
FORMALNACHOS. And
there's no E in nachos, the plural. Sometimes there's an E in the plurals.
Really?
Sometimes.
We didn't do that.
There's no E.
I didn't do that.
It's not for nachos.
Not
it's not for
it's
us.
It's not correct.
This week at about 2 in the morning, I woke up because a raccoon was trying to get in my window. And
no! What?
It was alarming.
Wait, tell me about this.
Savannah and Tamara have both their hands in front of their faces. They are... Savannah's covering her mouth, and Tamara is now dragging her eyes downward in a downward position. Ryan is not amused. I woke up amused. I'm amused.
Wait, no, what happened?
I don't understand.
I woke up in a start.
Wait, is this the same raccoon that you had a standoff with?
I can only assume it is one and the same. And the one that...
Roscoe the raccoon.
Roscoe? We have a listener named Roscoe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can't do that.
Let's change the name.
One of our 12 listeners.
Rowdy the raccoon.
Rowdy the raccoon.
Yeah.
So Rowdy, I was asleep and I woke up and I heard some rustling and there's a tree outside my window. And by tree, I mean like the tree is pretty far away, but there are branches that touch my window. And like if it's windy, they'll like hit the window.
And your window is like up.
It's like up. And
it's not like my basement window, which is ground level.
The raccoons love your windows.
Literally ground level.
I am like up 7 stairs kind of thing.
Okay.
7 normal human stairs. And the raccoon was definitely in the tree. I didn't see it. I heard it like kind of like that hiss as it was upset about something. And my window was open. And so I just like jumped up and I heard it like rustle away as I closed the window. I was like, that was a pretty bad way to wake up. And then I wrote down number 4, worst way you've ever been woken up in my Formal Nachos notes.
Oh my gosh.
Shoot.
That's terrible.
I mean, it's okay. The raccoon wasn't in the room, unlike another time in my life where a hummingbird was in my room. That was really
sad.
That's
magical and scary.
Did it die?
It was magical and scary.
Did it die?
No, it hit a bunch of windows on the way out, but I finally opened up enough windows without screens that it figured it out and it left.
Aww.
Without screens. Good important detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Because I don't want people to like text the show or like tweet the show and be like, what about screens on the window? It's a fake story. No, it's a real story.
Oh my gosh. I feel like this has got to be that same raccoon.
Yeah.
Coming back to be like, hey, we have some unfinished business.
I thought we were having a showdown and then nothing happened, so.
Whoa.
Join us next week to find out what happens with me and Rowdy.
That makes me think about the first week we lived here in Turnip Hollow. We were, like, settling in to go to bed, and about 15 minutes after we had, like, gotten to bed, we were falling asleep, I hear this terrible noise outside of our window. And again, our windows are ground level because we live in a basement. Literally, the windows are at the ground. So we,
and you're below the ground because
yeah,
of basement.
We're below the windows because basement. And we, like, look at the window and we see some shadowy figure. And so Josh turns on the light and he's, like, about ready to find a baseball bat or something like that. And we, like, pull back the curtain to see what's outside. And it is the ferocious jungle kitty that lives here and constantly stalks our window.
Not Rowdy.
No, but it was so terrifying. I thought it was a raccoon. It was trying to get in. It was, like, pawing at the screen. And it was summertime, so we had all the windows open.
Oh,
I've never been more terrified in my life. That cat.
Alrighty, let's go back to the Savannah of...
Topics! 8.
Number 8. Oh, I wanted to talk about this last week. I think that it will bring out a reaction from Tamara. I actually just wanted to know, I didn't tell you what it was. I wrote career endings on this. We're going to go sports for a second.
Oh.
When
is
I say
like injury related?
No.
Okay.
Because that'd be a bummer.
Yeah.
When I'm going to say a name of a player, and I want you to tell me, like, your first reactions.
Okay.
What if I don't know?
Lakers.
Savannah?
Sad.
Ryan?
I don't know.
He has no thoughts. Why do you say sad?
Because he's done playing basketball. He was an icon.
He was. I forgot that you watched one basketball. I forgot that you watched one basketball game
every year. And it is him, and he will not be there anymore.
He won't be there anymore. He's been playing for 20 years, and he had his last game last week.
Oh,
and
he made so many points.
He had so many points. He had so many.
60.
He had 60 points.
60 points
in his last game.
Isn't that wonderful? How did he do that? Also, what was the final?
He shot a lot of times.
I mean, it was his last game, and everyone knew that. I think they probably like, but still,
that's a lot of
points.
60 points.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh my gosh!
I got a text message from my brother that next. No, it's a text stream of the whole family actually, like mourning the loss of Kobe, and like there were like videos to watch of like his.
This is incredible.
Points. Yeah, it's great.
I'm glad that you answered because my whole because I'm from Portland. And Kobe, young Kobe, destroyed the Blazers' run in 2000.
Oh.
And so I've hated Kobe for a long time. Not like hate, but like
just
sports hate.
You hate him with a lot of respect.
With a lot of respect. Yeah, he's very good at basketball. But then he had some trouble with the law and some other things.
I know this.
See,
I've
that was
thought
what...
of him as like a really upstanding guy.
Well, no. That is
incorrect. I really like to believe that he's upstanding, and I want to keep that image.
Okay.
I think like him and Michael Jordan and Shaq. They're just like,
they're all the same.
They can
they're
do no wrong.
Yeah. They play golf.
This is the worst person to have this conversation with. Okay, never mind. They play golf together, and they'll have a cigar once a month for fun.
Yeah. Sometimes they go on cleanses. I don't know.
Okay.
They
this
do
is
yoga.
Clearly just though like
Shaq has a yoga studio at home.
You have like an extra long mat.
I mean it's super sized. I'm because he's Shaq.
That'd be custom made.
So tall.
Also they're all tall. So. Actually this is kinda cool. Like a yoga line for basketball players. Like Lululemon for the NBA.
For the really tall.
I like it.
Oh my gosh. I did not expect this conversation to go this way. I think we should call it a win. I think we should move on. I can't believe Savannah's reaction. Savannah, the last year and a half, how many sporting events have you watched? I know you've been to one.
She's been to a few.
I've been to a few.
That's right.
And I've watched a Laker game on Christmas every day for most of my life.
Okay.
Every year.
Every year.
And Kobe's been there
every day
for most
of my
life. I watch replays
on Christmas.
Just the
means
Christmas game.
Every day of her life.
All year round. She knows that game inside
Christmas.
Out. Every day is Christmas in Savannah's heart.
Shoot, that's a great thing.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, but what were you going to say about
it? It really doesn't matter. I was like looking at that 60-point game from him, and I thought, I want to ask two women that are important in my life what they think of Kobe, because most women, I think, don't have a respect for Kobe because of some things that he's done in his past, and both of you came in with, one, a fan, and two, like, sure, he sounds great.
I don't know.
So we'll just move on.
We were not a basketball family. We were just a shape-ups family.
We're a shape-ups family. Savannah, will you spin the wheel of topics,
Savannah,
please?
Savannah of topics!
Five.
Oh, Tamara. Tamara.
What?
Tammy Lynn.
What?
Can you tell us a passing out story?
No.
Yes, you can.
I can tell too many.
It happened on the Wheel of Topics. You have to tell a story about when you went to the dentist.
Oh, no. Okay, so actually, this is a grown-up problem. I was talking with someone today about how
the
there's all these...
The dentist is the worst.
It's
am I right, Savannah? Cheers to that. No one go to the dentist.
Don't go. It is the worst.
Mine.
Ryan's pro-dentist.
Ryan's like, I go every 6 months. That's what you're supposed to do. No, so...
Are you supposed to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is an adult problem. I haven't been to the dentist since college. I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was.
It wasn't last year.
Nope.
It wasn't 2 years ago.
I didn't mean graduate school.
Undergrad.
She's graduated from graduate school.
I haven't gone because I've been really a little bit nervous because the last time I went was a little bit traumatic. I was at the dentist, and they told me that they were going to have to do a filling because I had a pretty gnarly cavity, so the best way they could do was just, like, drill out some and then do a filling. And, well, I was okay. Yeah. And I also come from a long family line of just bad teeth. Like, there's just bad teeth. On my mom's side, really great teeth, really straight teeth, really wonderful teeth. I got the straight part and the clean white part, but then on the other side of the family, it's just like just bad teeth. We just like prone to cavities.
And you're born in the wrong country. Could
born
have been
in
acceptable.
America.
Yeah.
I was born in Texas. Anyways, so went to the dentist. They told me that we're gonna have to do a filling, which requires a shot into my gum. Which I was like, you're gonna do what?
Was that your first filling?
Yeah, that was my first filling. And I didn't have a ton of like orthodontia or anything like that growing up. So I didn't grow up with a lot of like building
tools
up.
In your mouth.
Yeah. Not a lot of tools in my mouth. Also, I didn't go to the dentist very much growing up, which probably reflects really well on why I haven't gone since college. Anyways. So they start doing the shot into my mouth and everything starts getting really white. Everything starts getting a little hazy. And I realize I'm not well, but there's a shot in my mouth, so I can't say anything. And I passed out.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And I wake up. This is the best part of the story. I wake up to the light padding of a rubber glove on my face.
That's an affectionate way to
really
do it.
And the dentist standing over
me.
Were
you in Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, honey. Just slapping.
He's like,
darling.
Are you okay? I'm like, what happened? He's like, you passed out. I'm like, why? He's like, do you want me to keep going? I'm like, I don't know.
No, absolutely not.
He went ahead and did the filling after me passing out.
That's so awful.
When I was a senior in high school, there was a blood drive at my school, and I gave blood for the first time, gave the blood, walked down the hallway, laid on the ground and passed out, and I was told later by other people that, like, the bell rang. And people just, like, kind of walked around me for a while.
What?
And then I just kind of, like, came to, and I was like, I just got up and didn't really know what had happened. It was a good time.
That's not safe.
It's probably not safe. I don't get blood very often. I've done it twice, and I passed out both times. It's not, I'm like, oh, so here's my man card, and you can take my blood now, but I will remain seated here. I demand 4 cookies.
And so many good snacks.
Yeah.
I've never given blood.
I attempted to once. I, like, was very nervous about it, and I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And I'd, like, tried to drink water and, like, eat a lot of food that day. And then I went, and they, like, couldn't – my vein wasn't big enough. And they were like, we would have to, like, really dig around. And since this is your first time.
Dig around.
With the needle in your arms. Isn't that horrifying? But they were like, this is your first time, so we're not going to do that to you.
We can't think of a
and
better
I have
way.
Not gone back since. I've never given blood. I feel terrible.
Jen's going to go just dig around in your arm for a little while, see if you can come up with the...
Like, give dig around for your artery?
What if they
have you ever been to a restaurant and you, like, you go and you eat and you're like, they have just gained a customer for life. That's what they're trying to do with Savannah. Like, we want your blood for life. Let's let her go this time.
Yeah, what if I've never gone back?
What if they have a nurse in the back that's, like, the digging around specialist? Like, oh, we got to go get Bertha.
She's the ringer.
And this nurse goes out like, I'm ready to do some things. You ready?
She gets paid a little bit less than her book. She doesn't really ever have to do anything. So, like,
no,
once
it's
a day.
Just like
once a day. You bring in the closer. Bring in the lefty.
I don't know why I think her name's Bertha, but it's totally it's got Bertha.
No, Big Bertha.
I know
she's
it
looking
is.
For a vein. That was perfect. I understand.
Bertha.
Bertha currently failing. Currently failing to
failing
build a viaduct in Seattle.
Oh, no.
We were going to stay away from politics, you guys.
Sorry.
Ryan, you ever passed out before?
No.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, I got nothing.
That's incredible.
That's actually a better story.
I've never, like, not fallen asleep on purpose. Like.
Well, unfortunately, I have more stories, so if we want to leave that on the wheel of topics,
no,
we totally
it's
can.
Been on there for a few weeks, and it'll remain on there.
I think I've told 2 stories now.
Yeah, your tattoo story, your dentist story. I can't wait to see what you did at the
hospital.
Yeah,
the
hospital. Now let's return to the
Savannah of Topics.
You guys are better at that than I am.
2.
Number 2. Ryan's favorite.
Oh, man.
Biker shorts in the workplace.
At a coffee shop.
I'm so ready for this.
This isn't the end of this show, but it's too real.
It's too real.
It's not smooth.
So I put this one on the list.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead and take the lead on this.
Because I'm curious. So next month is Bike to Work Month. May is
May.
Bike to Work Month.
Is that like a national thing or a state thing?
I don't know if
it's
a national thing.
Seattle
it's definitely Seattle-wide.
Seattle
should have
picked a better month, like August.
Well,
it's supposed to get you going for all of summer.
Got it.
I think it's supposed to be like the inspiration
yeah.
to do it all summer.
That makes sense.
And the Cascade Bike Club does it, and it's like, it's really cool. It's something for you to do with the organization you work with, and like SPU has a lot of teams, and I'm a part of the SPU Cyclers, which is spelled PSYCHLERS. Cyclers.
Yeah. I should let you finish for those listening at home. Tamara, can you spell that one more time?
PSYCHLERS, like psychology and cyclers
wow.
put together.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
It's wonderful.
Okay, this is one of those moments where you notice you have a, like, fan thing about something that you're really into and nobody else cares about.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
And it's good to be back on the bicycle. And
yeah, it's good to be back on the bike. I'm super pumped about it. But I've been wearing my bike shorts because I am prone to get bike grease on myself, and I don't like getting on my pants because then I have to deal with that all day.
Yeah, that's bad.
But then I thought about it the other day as I was getting ready to leave, and I was putting on my bike shorts, and I walked back into the office, and there were still a lot of people there.
Bike shorts for the people that are unaware are real tight. There's a nice butt pad. And they're just not leaving a lot to the imagination, as you were, Tamara.
So I guess my question is, bike shorts in the workplace, thumbs up,
thumbs down. Ryan, I'm going to default to you on this one. I work with children. The answer is no for me.
It's always no. I will say I'm not the only one in my office who does this. There are quite a few people who bike to work.
I mean, in my workplace, more legs showing means more hot liquids everywhere.
Ooh,
that could be dangerous.
Potential for danger.
I'm like, yikes. I don't know if the liability is worth it.
Thumbs down for Ryan.
I'm gonna say thumbs down.
Savannah?
You know, it might be okay in my place of work.
Okay.
You know, like small children. I don't have a good answer for this.
Okay.
To be fair, I always change. It's not like I'm wearing bike shorts
showing
all day doing
work,
therapy.
Oh, that's what
it's
I thought you were
fine,
asking.
Like, show up to work.
Showing up to work
shorts,
and leaving
and
work
change,
in bike shorts.
But then leave,
oh,
yeah.
All about
okay.
that.
Yeah,
no,
that's fine. That's fine.
Whoa. Great.
Yeah,
everyone's
came,
into
came,
it.
We came around.
I'll wear it all day.
Great.
That's a consensus.
Yeah, I thought you were asking, like, is it appropriate to wear it all day at work? I'm like, no.
I just wonder if it's okay to be, like, walking around your office, even for, like, 10 minutes in your bike shorts. Is that weird?
I think people know that it's,
Seattle,
it's a specified
it's okay.
occasion. It's like,
yeah,
there's
you're
a
going
you're
to be riding
them.
Your bike. It's not just like,
cool.
I just
wear my bike shorts.
Just running errands.
Yeah.
Oh, what a terrible way to wake up. You pass out in your bike shorts. And there's a raccoon there, and you're just, like, panicking.
And
what do I do?
And then there's Bertha.
And Bertha's there for this. She's a specialist. She's going to get it taken care of. She's going to get it done. Oh, gosh.
More topics?
Yeah, more topics.
Back
Let's
to
get...
the savannah of
topics.
Six.
So this week was restaurant week in the city of Seattle. That is a good noise, I suppose, for those
yes.
listening at home. Ryan, did you go to a restaurant, any restaurants this week? I didn't.
No, I did not.
Cool. Tamara, this is you.
Oh my gosh. Well, and Savannah can chip in because she was there. And she actually did more restaurant week than I did.
What?
We did Monday night. We went to Pomerol. Also, thanks, Pomerol, for the tweet. We really appreciated that.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, it was cool. And this was my first experience with clams, and I loved it. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Megan is a big fan of clams. That sounded weird coming out of my mouth. And we got a clam pizza about a month ago from Via Trib.
Whoa.
It was one of the two options that were dairy-free without, like, taking the cheese off. And so we were like, we thought we'd try it. She loves clams. And I'd never had clams before either. I, like, the pizza got there, and I was like, oh, that's what clams are. Why would they leave the shells on there?
So wait, the shells were on there on
the
pizza? The
shells were on the pizza. You had to, like, scoop them out and then put that in the clam juice on the pizza. I don't think
disgusting.
I've ever been more nervous for a first bite of pizza.
How was it?
Good. It was good. I'm not saying that because I know Megan will listen to this. I'm saying it because I was genuinely surprised. I took a really timid bite. I'm gonna describe this for the folks. I was like holding it and bringing it close to my mouth and like kind of turning away and then diving in. It was good.
Do they bake the clams on top or they put them at the end?
They.
Like, do the clams go into that pizza oven?
No, they cooked them separately.
And then
put it on top.
Logistically,
yeah,
that'd be pretty
so
impressive if you
odd.
Could time that.
Gosh, that would be incredible.
I don't think they could cook it with
yeah,
the
you
clams.
You kind of do
it,
because I'd be like...
I didn't know this was even a thing that existed.
Know.
So this is
yeah, crazy. I don't know enough about clams. Obviously, just had my first experience.
If you're a clam expert, please tweet the show.
Oh, gosh.
And
they were delicious, though.
Yeah, so you had clams for the first time from Texas.
For the first time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they were served in this like lemon garlic buttery sauce with tomatoes and a baguette, and it was so incredible. And for your first course, you had
chilled tomato soup. It was so good.
Chilled?
Chilled, yeah, so cold.
Was the bowl cold?
Yeah, it was
nice.
It was a cold soup. It was so good.
That would
it's
upset me if the bowl was like lukewarm.
No, it was just cold and refreshing. Great texture.
Second round for the main course,
mm-hmm.
I had this like seared peppered pork shoulder served on a roasted vegetable bed with a parsnip puree. It was incredible. And you had?
I had like a chickpea pakora, which are like fried Indian flavored like meatballs, but not meatballs because it's not meat. But like chickpea, like, yes. That's a bad
balls.
Description,
just
but that's all I can.
Balls.
It's like falafel.
Just
thank
falafel
you.
Chickpeas.
Falafel makes so much more sense than
yeah.
to a meatball.
It's like essentially like falafel,
like
but not quite as greasy.
Not quite as greasy. And it was like served on a like carrot puree with like greens and yogurt sauce. It was incredible.
And then for round three, dessert had a...
What a dessert.
Goat cheese tart, which was essentially like goat cheese cheesecake with a strawberry glaze underneath, a graham cracker crust, and pineapple and mint up top. Oh my gosh. I loved it.
Amazing. I had some of that and also like a, I think it was chocolate bread pudding. And it was, I mean, all those things put together. It was so good. It was so good.
So Pomerol, thanks.
Thanks, Pomerol.
Cheers.
Thanks, Pomerol. Ryan, can you tell us about the fantasy barista competition? I'm dying to know more.
Yeah, so the United States Barista Championship took place last week.
The United States Barista Competition, the USBC.
Yeah, the USBC.
Yeah,
that's what it's called.
I thought you said burrito.
The United Burrito States
he did.
Competition.
I would participate in that competition.
I would love.
I feel like I could crush that competition.
I would attend it. I would watch, I would participate, I would judge, whatever they needed.
Yeah, more burritos, please.
But the barista competition.
Anyway, the other USBC, not burritos.
Second best.
So it took place in Atlanta, so not going to go into what goes down there, but basically baristas compete, do a little presentation thing, make delicious coffee, and get judged on it. And so someone put together this barista... like fantasy league, so you get to pick like six baristas drafted to your team.
What?
Oh, I didn't know that you were choosing baristas. I thought you were talking sports.
No, this is
arguably
a sport, right?
Yeah, anything.
I think Ryan's offended right now.
It's
excuse
a sport.
Me, barista.
No, it's not a sport. No, I'm fully aware that is not the classification.
When Ryan first told me about it, I laughed at him, and then I realized I play every fantasy sport, which he finds equally as... like, it's the same. It's not even laughable. It's like they're the same thing.
I wasn't doing anything. I sat behind my computer and picked people. I was like, this guy's a baller. This girl's a baller. Like, I'm a big fan of their shop.
Yeah.
I think they're going to put good people forth. But Lynn Butler
you had
won.
Heard.
Who's Lynn Butler?
The guy,
tell us more about
so
Lynn.
He's from Counterculture Coffee. Actually got a, like... trained with him a little bit a few years back.
What?
So I was like,
dude,
this guy's been competing for like 12, 13 years. He's a legend.
Wow.
And so he finally won.
He's
after
a USBC
like,
champion.
Hey.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Good job,
Lynn.
Lynn.
There you go.
Lynn.
With an
N.
Lynn.
Yeah, I was like, I just want to clarify. I don't want to.
In case he listens to the show.
Hey, Lynn, if you're out there listening, well done.
No, but he's
hey,
awesome.
Hey, baristing, you have some headphones in, you're just working on your coffee, listening to the formal nachos.
Probably listening to a lot of podcasts like ours.
All the time.
Just like ours.
But I was like, this is too cool not to participate, and so I did.
Could you ever...
So cool.
Would you ever want to compete in something like that, the USBC?
I've thought about it. It's...
What would that entail?
It's so much...
Do you have to qualify regionally?
Because there are regionals.
Is it always in Atlanta?
Oh my gosh, this is like...
No, like...
incredible.
It goes to different cities every year. Last year, the Worlds was actually in Seattle.
Wow.
So this year, Worlds is in Dublin, I believe. But
Atlanta seems like
it's a lot of, like, so much time commitment on top of work. People are, like, for months on end practicing and rehearsing.
Wow.
And, like, a lot of money in terms of, like, people, like, sourcing their coffees, getting
wow.
them, like,
wow.
you know, travel, buying all your wares and...
Whoa.
All this stuff. Oh, it's just like most times people get sponsored by their company or whatever. There's
wow.
a lot that goes into it, but it's really cool. So it'd be sweet to participate. But
that makes me think of the like Malcolm Gladwell like
10,000
hour thing. That's like legit 10,000 hours you got to put in to be the barista master of.
There's a documentary that came out that kind of. Did like a covered the whole barista competition thing.
What's it called?
Ooh. It's called Barista.
Whoa.
I've actually yet to
so
see it,
edgy.
But
so
this is going to sound like I'm mocking, but I'm not. Are there fans? Do people go?
I feel like it's more the coffee community. Like
okay,
like when the Worlds was here, I had some customers. Like I went to watch, and
oh,
some customers.
That's cool. That's what
I'm a fan. I
yeah.
guess apparently
did you have
so
a sign
by that definition? I did
like,
not.
Go in.
Go away. That would have been dope. But next time I'll like paint my shirt, you know, like I'll paint my chest and like get some cheers going.
Have a little latte on your shirt. It'd
be so bad. A little shirt that says thanks a latte.
Go for it, Jeff. I'll bring you along with me.
I'll be your number one fan. I'll go with
you.
That'd
be so bad. So good.
Yeah,
so
we would paint our shirts.
I would
absolutely
paint
my shirt.
Yeah. No, but it's
Ryan was on Formal Nachos
weird...
once. It's a really long shirt. Ryan was on Formal Nachos once, and he is my favorite barista. That's what the shirt said.
I like it.
Small text.
Fine print. Actually, it's at the bottom of the shirt.
Yeah. On the back, it just says Ryan number one. Hashtag one. But
hashtag.
Some people say number.
Pound sign.
Yeah. Pound sign.
One.
I wanted to be able to tell our listeners where they can find you and also, like, how they can get involved with what you're doing. And so maybe tell us a little bit about where our listeners can find you, Ryan.
Like?
I mean, not, like, your address.
Like,
your
don't give your personal number.
Or,
I typically don't give my phone number out.
Right,
and like,
your social media accounts.
Ladies.
No, I mean, like, where you work. Like,
maybe, I mean.
Where you work and, like, where, like... kind of projects you have on the horizon. Wow. Cut.
Well, I'm making coffee over in on the east side in Kirkland at Urban Coffee Lounge. Five days a week.
He'll make you a mean cup of coffee. Just whisper Formal Nachos to the barista
or
behind the counter named Ryan, and you'll get no discount whatsoever.
But he'll give you a smile and
extra smile.
Love.
Don't pour the love in. I promise.
Do you have any cool projects coming up or things that are on the horizon in your coffee world or even just in your hobby world?
Yeah, I've been just kind of busy.
Yeah.
Like... like my coffee world and my hobby world all kind of comes together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the same.
All one and the same. Trying to play around with making my own tonic water for espresso tonics lately.
What? What is an espresso tonic?
So it's tonic water.
Great question, Savannah.
With espresso, and it's really refreshing. Because tonic water is like quinine, so a little bit bitter, and then like citrus and lemongrass and citric acid. And it's really like... then you add espresso to that, and it's legit.
What?
And so
cold? Hot?
Cold.
Oh, cold.
Cold.
Hot.
So it's sparkling.
This
and
tonic
so it's
is
like,
hot.
That sounds crazy. Have you guys had it?
I had one like that at Neptune.
What?
We love you, Neptune.
And
it was so good. It had like milk and honey and espresso and tonic water. It was so good.
Sounds like the Holy Land.
And they served it in a nice little beautiful glass. And oh my gosh, it was so good.
This is
mind blowing.
It was so good.
It sounds so delicious.
That's sick. So,
making your own tonic water.
That's my latest muse on the size. I'm like,
side
tonic
muse.
Water and muse. Side muse.
That's my side muse.
But I'm
like
something it's
else.
Really nice out lately. I don't
yeah.
want. Summer to come and not be making delicious things. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just think of the head, man. It's great stuff.
And like, I want to be ready. Shoot, I don't want to be up a creek without a paddle.
Cool.
Well, we're pumped that you joined us. We have enough time for one more Savannah of Topics.
So
and then we're going to, then we'll wrap up the show after that.
Okay. So time for the
Savannah
of
Topics.
Seven.
Number seven. Ooh, this is
a good one.
Okay. I really like that you picked seven.
Okay.
Actors that will cause you to see a movie, no matter how bad the movie looks.
Okay.
I will start, because I wrote this down. I am not into the Marvel movies very much. Not a very popular opinion, I know. I liked the first Iron Man, and then it got really confusing after that for me. I say that, and I, like, make fun of Marvel, and at the same time, I'm obsessed with Star Wars. So I get it. I understand.
Different.
They're different.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, I get that I'm sucked into one universe, and so people being sucked into the Marvel universe, okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I have no desire to see the Marvel movies. I liked Guardians of the Galaxy. Benedict Cumberbun, whatever his name is, is
Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
Get it right.
Is in Doctor Strange something. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going to watch a Marvel movie. And it hit me, like, I will pretty much watch anything he's in right now. He's so hot right now, like Hansel.
Oh, my gosh.
For sure. Wow.
And I just thought, what if you saw a movie that looked really bad, but you saw an actor or, like, something you didn't trust, like, who is that person for you? Where you're like, yeah, I'm going to take that chance and watch that movie.
Hmm. Good question.
Because a movie is a huge commitment.
I mean, it really is.
90 to 120 minutes of your time.
Sometimes
more.
It's a big commitment.
Ryan, do you have an answer?
Shoot, Tom Hanks.
Can I second that?
Yeah.
Hanks.
Yeah.
Sure, Tom Hanks.
I'm like, he's awesome.
I wait.
What?
Well, I was quoting The Terminal. Speaking of, I wait.
Tom Hanks.
It's
yeah.
like always. He's always good.
So good.
Even from like Saturday Night Live back in the day to
yeah.
like I'm like he does it all.
He's
good.
Pretty rad. I like him a lot.
He had that great stretch with like Castaway, Saving Private Ryan, Forrest Gump. Like those
yeah.
were that was all like
so good.
Back to back to
and
back.
He crushed it.
Yeah, the Terminal was
yeah,
in there.
Was amazing.
Yeah, Hanks is a great choice.
He's still making like really good
yes.
movies.
He's still going strong.
Also, let's talk about the other stretch he went on: Turner and Hooch.
Big.
Oh yeah. Big is not aged well.
Big
has
yeah.
not.
What are you
aged.
Talking about?
She like falls in love with a 12-year-old boy.
But she doesn't know.
How
he's
old is
12?
He in the movie? He's yes, I understand that. But we know, the audience
he's like
knows.
30-year-old body.
Okay, that's the problem.
That's
is he even 12 in
Big?
Yeah.
In my opinion, not a movie that's aged well.
Whatever.
It's a little creepier than probably.
But let's just okay, so still.
But yes, Big is a good movie.
Like Joe and the Volcano, Sleepless in Seattle. Like there the
true,
80s
again,
were good
another,
for Hanks.
Another good
all
stretch.
Is Hanks in You've Got Mail?
Yes.
That's
yeah.
what a movie. What
right?
a film.
That's his second
so
like
my mother
Ryan.
My mother and sister watched that 100 times.
Fox Books.
F-O-X. I want to watch that movie.
That's a good one. We could do that.
Tonight.
We could.
Savannah, is there any, like, actor or actress?
I mean, I would second Tom Hanks and also Meryl Streep. Ooh. She does not make a bad movie.
No. Even Mamma Mia.
Even Mamma Mia is incredible.
It's just delightful. And it's terrible.
And cheesy, but
she's
in it.
So good.
Have you not seen Mamma Mia?
I've not seen it, so I have no thoughts.
I have not seen Mamma Mia.
Which is fine.
It's so good.
Yeah, she's
amazing.
She's a baller.
Yep.
Shot
Meryl.
Baller.
Meryl Streep.
We
she
love you.
On the Impala. Tara?
I have a couple.
Yeah, go for it.
As always. I tend to have multiples.
That's great. I learned a lot of things on today's show, so this is great. Yeah.
Great. The first thing that came to mind was Ryan Gosling.
Oh, well.
Legit
oh,
love
yes.
him.
Love him like McAdams loves Gosling.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
I also thought of Denzel Washington because we were talking about him earlier.
Yeah.
And I love all of his movies. And
it's a train the size of the Chrysler Building. That was when I lost it for Denzel, was that the runaway subway train that he couldn't. That was when he lost it for me. But yes. Love Denzel.
Fair.
So Remember the Titans stars is what you're talking about. Gosling, watch Denzel.
Yeah, weird. Oh, there's the tie.
Gosling was a huge liability at cornerback for the Titans.
Yeah. Nice. Clear eyes, full heart.
Can't lose.
But the other person that came to mind was Sally Field. She's
wow.
timeless. She's incredible.
Timeless.
And I love everything she does. And she's just so expressive. That's
yeah.
all.
Awesome.
Bam. No response on Sally Field. Sally, I love you.
She's great.
I'll look it up after the show.
Oh, she was the mom in Forrest Gump.
Oh.
She was.
Oh, I know who that is. You're good to know.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you for looking that
I'm
up for
look
me.
It up anyway.
And she has done, oh my gosh, she's just done so many things. She was in Mrs. Doubtfire. She played Robin Williams' ex-wife.
Oh.
You know? And she's like, The whole time. Like, she does, like, the classic Sally Field thing.
Yeah.
Love it. Oh, and Julia Roberts. Mm,
oh,
love
yeah.
her.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. Too many, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's good. That's great. All right. So, let's wrap up the show with what we learned on the program. Ryan, at the end of every show, we talk about what we learned on the show.
Oh.
And we'd love for you to join. We'll give you a second to think about it.
Awesome.
It can be almost anything. It can even be, as Josh likes to do, nothing at all.
Oh, my goodness, Josh. How long have you been sitting there?
I heard what you said.
Oh. Well, did you learn anything on the show today?
Yeah, actually. Thanks for asking. I learned from this show... Hey, Ryan. What I learned is that some of the events and occurrences and episodes of Game of Thrones actually were inspired by real-life events, such as the famed Red Wedding was actually... That actually happened.
So it's a spoiler alert?
Yeah, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen...
Turn off the podcast now.
If you don't know what I mean by Red Wedding, earmuffs. Yeah, apparently in Scotland, like, give or take 1,000 years ago, that actually happened. Like, well, 1,000 years is probably too much, but maybe 800 years ago, people invited all these nobles and all this, you know, aristocrats over to a feast, wedding feast, and then just killed them all. And
wow.
George R. R. Martin was like, hey, that's a good idea, and just took that for Game of Thrones. Also, the inspiration apparently for the Starks versus the Lannisters were competing families in England that were warring for forever. So I learned that Game of Thrones is real.
Happy Thrones Week.
Happy Thrones Week.
Tamara, what'd you learn on the show today?
I learned that the secret ingredient for good coffee is love. And that Ryan's pouring out love every day out of Urban Coffee.
Early in the morning.
Early
in the morning.
That's what I learned.
Savannah, did you learn anything on the program today?
I did. I learned that espresso tonics are a thing that I really want to try.
I know a guy.
That's what I learned.
We know a guy.
Homemade tonic.
Give you his
I'm
number.
There.
Although he's pretty selective on how he gives out his number. Just
yeah.
So you know.
I learned a couple things. The main one, there's a couple. Every day is Christmas for Savannah. We learned that.
Already?
We learned that. I knew that, I never heard her say it, so that was great. And the second thing I learned that is in the summertime, there's a ferocious kitty that stalks Turnip Hollow.
We call her Jungle Kitty.
Jungle Kitty. I wrote ferocious kitty, and I was like, that's not right.
Jungle Kitty.
Ryan, what'd you learn on the program today?
Learned a lot. let me tell you. And that Tamara has a lot of movies that she would watch, like, even if they looked really crappy.
I know.
She has a lot of people, which is great.
Yeah.
Because it's
a lot
like,
of movies.
It's like there's a
and
lot of
TV
material
shows.
Out there. It's like, hey. I think that's really cool.
or weird.
I also learned that Jeff has consequently locked a hummingbird in his bedroom before.
it was a startling way to wake up.
Just,
it was kind of like the wheel
good thing
of
to know,
Savannah.
Like, be sensitive.
Yeah.
But louder.
I had that and a lot.
Cool. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
you were
awesome.
Smooth, like a limousine.
It's too real.
Now,
keep...
Ryan, how was your day today?
It was a busy day.
It was busy.
I translated for my brother-in-law.
You translated?
What does that mean?
Because he would kind of almost like be talking about the project and he's like, we're good, like, I just, like, it's all about the relationship. Like, I'll do whatever. Like, don't worry about the money. Like, you know, because we're just, like, trying to...
Where's your brother-in-law from?
My brother-in-law's originally from Utah.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm talking... So I was translating with a...
Oh. Are we recording?
Of course I am.
I just got stage fright all of a sudden.
Hey guys.
Welcome to the show.
You're welcome.
Are we going? Are you ready?
I think so.
Question.
Yeah, what's your question?
I feel like I asked a question earlier.